The Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
If you're just joining the program, we are joined with Stephanie Smallhouse, the president of the Arizona Farm Bureau, and Sarah Porter, the director of the Kyle Center for Water Policy at the Morrison Institute for Public Policy at the Arizona State University. And you were talking last segment that our efficiency with water has outpaced our use of water, and that with so many more people in Arizona, we're using less than we were in the 50s, and that looking for new sources of water isn't always the answer. But there has been a lot of projections out there that we've seen. I've seen an article about piping it out of the Columbian River. I've seen an article about desalinated water getting pumped out of the Sea of Cortez from Rocky Point. Is there another water pipeline in Arizona's future somewhere?
I wouldn't say that there's not going to be another water pipeline, but I will state with great confidence that it is not going to come from the state of Washington. Actually, Captain Kirk, William Shatner, during the California drought, proposed that very thing as a solution for Northern California, and Washington exploded over this. They need their water. It's not available for the Southwest. But yeah, there are lots of solutions out there. There is actually an official effort to study desalination as a possibility in the future. Mexico and the U.S. are looking together at places where a desalination plant potentially could be sited, for example, in Rocky Point or over on the Pacific side of the Baja. The trouble with desalinated ocean water, and this was the trouble with the CAP when it was first developed in Arizona, you need to have a customer base. It's the most expensive water that you can get. There's a big desalination plant in Carlsbad, California, and that water is between $2,000 and $2,400 per acre foot. Yeah, Stephanie, is a farmer willing to pay $2,000 an acre foot for?
Well, that depends on how much somebody's willing to pay for a Big Mac, and I'm guessing not enough.
It will be a long time before we get there, but a big city like the San Diego area might have a customer and does, in fact, have a customer base for that more expensive water. So as long as, you know, you don't have that customer base, you don't want to run out and build a desal plant because you'll mothball it pretty soon.
So with no real practical solution to getting another source of water,
Well, there are other solutions.
Okay.
There are supplies of brackish groundwater in Arizona underground, and that water isn't developed because you have to kind of lightly desalinate it. It's not anything as intensive as taking the salt out of ocean water. Some cities are looking at developing desalination plants for brackish groundwater so that they could add that water to their portfolio. Some cities are looking at direct potable reuse. We now treat effluent to very, very clean standards. And some cities are saying, well, then why don't we just take the next step and take that Class A highly treated effluent and treat it to drinking water standards. So that's another example. There are lots of options for adding to a water portfolio. They're inevitably more expensive than what we're doing now.
And if I could make a comment real quickly about those technologies and advancements, I think that's one of the things that we're worried about, is that under this current situation, with having to figure out how to manage these reductions on the CAP, is that we jump too soon to hold on to our water so tightly that we can't manage the shortage for everybody. And so certain, you know, entities that have a certain amount of water that's not being directly used, so a lot of this water is being stored, you know, for future years ahead. You know, the consideration needs to be that we are going to develop these technologies and we are going to advance and get water, augment our water supplies. And so let's not pave over farmland and be short-sighted, you know, and say, oh, no more water for farms. We're going to put houses there. And then we have this technology. You don't get the farmland back. And so we want to make sure that in this process of negotiations and solving these grand problems, that we don't panic. And we don't rush to say, no, we have no water. We have no water to share with farming because we have to keep it. You know, it may not be coming out of the tap, but we need to store it. And so that's not really planning for these advances that will come because they have to come. You know, we are always going to be, every so many years, faced with the next challenge, right? The next opportunity, as you said. and so that's something that we're trying to, you know, to get across during this process is, you know, let's not panic, but let's not secure a future for farmland that will never mean that we'll never produce food again.
And that was a great point, that you don't get that farmland back. And it's not practical in a lot of elevations where you might be able to rely on more rainwater for your crop growth and use less. Well, higher elevations, there's a reason there's not farms up there.
And almost all of Arizona is arid or semi-arid. There's very little acreage that could rely on rainfall for farming.
Well, and also, we can't rely on California anymore. We've seen what the drought's done there for our food supply.
Well, and also a good point on that is actually the fact that, you know, California is a Mediterranean climate. There's only five on the planet. And Mediterranean climates mean that you can produce pretty much almost anything year round. And so Arizona is on the very edge of that. And of the southwestern states, we benefit the most from that. We don't have the coastal part of that that California does. But we certainly have the climate to where we can grow almost anything here, and we can grow it year round. And so when we're looking ahead to those demands on agriculture in the future, Arizona is going to be a very important place to be and a very important place for production in the future because of the fact that we can do that. You look at what's happening in California. I mean, it's so sad to me. California provides 60% of the fruits and vegetables for the rest of the country, and the people passing policy in California think they're only passing policy that impacts them. Well, when fields are going fallow in California, that impacts the rest of the nation at a minimum, not to mention other countries. So it's really a long-term thought process that we have to have. It's like, this isn't just about Arizona even at times.
I think we forget about food security. 40, 50 years ago, a big percentage of household income, something like 30 or 40% of household income went to food. And we live in an extraordinary time where it's just a fraction of that now. And we have a very food secure country. That doesn't mean that there aren't families that have a hard time making ends meet and getting the food that they need. But compared with where we have been in history, we are very food secure, and that gives us a form of national security. So I always mm-hmm. bring that up. I think it's very important for us to keep our eye on food security and that food is affordable. Without overstating its affordability, it is more affordable now than it ever was. I think the challenge with any of these augmentation options is they're going to be expensive, and it's very hard to know when do you start investing in it and develop it so that you do it just at the time when you have the customer base ready to pay for that water. And that's been our challenge with CAP. We asked farmers to be the customer base. Eventually the farmers came back and said, this is very expensive water, we need some relief. And so CAP and the other water users made a deal and said, okay, we'll discount your water, but you have to take lower priority. And that's why we're at this point now where all the impacts would be hitting Pinal County Ag because of this agreement that was really rooted in this problem that we have of we need a customer base. And I want to add, we've been talking as if we're about to have a big water crisis, and we're not. We plan water in Arizona on a very long timeline. And we're talking about, I mean, the DCP and what might happen if there's a cut is imminent. And it's very important that we figure out our way through that. But as far as, you know, Arizona goes, the cities, we're not on the verge of, you know, rationing or a big crisis or needing to, you know, build a pipeline to the state of Washington and have an army activated to make that happen. There has been a lot of long-term planning and preparation for drought, preparation for shortage. Most cities have diverse water portfolios, and so they have made plans to stay resilient in that. And that, in a way, you know, Pinal County really kind of stands out, Pinal County Ag, as being impacted more than anyone else by a potential cut on the Colorado River.
And we have, with Pinal Agriculture, is the second largest producer of food and fiber in the state of Arizona. Yuma would be the first. And so it's really important to the rest of Arizona what happens with this segment of agriculture. And like Sarah said, yeah, I mean, the cities have taken these precautions, and they have stored water, like I had said previously. It is really more of an imminent loss to agriculture itself. And so it is one of those questions of, okay, because it's not, you know, because it's not an imminent moment for the cities and for, you know, you're not going to turn on your tap, you're not going to run out of water. But because of that, is there room to share the shortage then with agriculture? Is there room? Because Sarah talked about that agreement that happened, you know, when the farmers said, okay, we'll give up our entitlement to the cities and the tribes in order for less expensive water. But part of that agreement was a promise. And that promise was, you'll have so much water for so many years at a certain price. Well, that was supposed to be out to 2030. And so now we're talking about, well, you're really only going to have a portion. Well, if it stays as if it's being planned right now, they would lose all of that water probably by 2020. And so that was a promise that was made. You know, so you negotiate, you say, okay, I'm willing to give up my water for less expensive rate, but you're going to give me water for a certain amount of time, right? And now it's like, and during that time, farmers are investing millions of dollars, right? Pinal County farmers have invested $750 million into conservation and best management practices. And all of a sudden it's like, well, you're actually going to have 2020. So that's a scary thing for the farmers.
And like you said earlier, it's not only the food for people, but it's food for our food. Beef is a big part of the Arizona ag wheel. And a lot of that that's grown is to feed the beef that feeds us.
Beef and dairy. Those are our biggest, that's our biggest sector in Arizona. And they depend upon that forage growth in Pinal County.
And agriculture is one of those things where we got rain and, hey, we've got a little bit of water. You know, that there's no quick solution in ag. You can't just go plant a field and have food tomorrow for your cow that was just born yesterday. They can start producing milk tomorrow.
It's a science. It's a business and a science. It's a science-based business.
Yeah.
I do feel like since we don't have the other participants in the DCP discussions, it's a little bit incumbent on me to say that I don't think there is some sort of hostility for agriculture. People get in these discussions who are in these negotiations that, you know, this is a difficult situation for Pinal County Ag. And that's why there are 40 people and on this committee that's doing the negotiation who are spending, including Stephanie, untold time in these negotiations and these meetings will have an audience of 200 people who care about water and the different industries that use water. What some would say is that what agriculture agreed to was lower priority, and that now sort of this is the time when lower priority kicks in, and that they agreed to that. And that's the argument that some of the other users on the CAP are asserting. And they too have made big investments in putting their water in the ground and maybe developing infrastructure to remove the water. So there are a lot of competing needs and considerations here, and I don't think anyone wants to see impacts fall exclusively on Pinal County agriculture.
And you made a statement about the three primary uses of water during one of the breaks. Yeah. I think you should share that with the audience.
The top three uses of water are hydration, sanitation, and growing food.
You take away any one of those, and it doesn't complete the cycle. You got to have
all
three.
You're in trouble. Yep.
Okay, well, we'll come back at the last segment and talk about just takeaway. Well, what's the takeaway from all this? We're joined with Sarah Porter, the director at the Kyle Center for Water Policy, Morrison Institute for Public Policy at the Arizona State University, and Steph Smallhouse, president of the Arizona Farm Bureau.